Blog Talk Radio.
I want to introduce to you right now a close friend and brother. To me, he is one of the best interpreters of song and spoken word. My friend, Pastor Marvin Wyman. Be blessed.
Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church, say
amen.
Yeah. Can I get a witness?
Let the church say amen.
To what his plans are.
Let the church
to what his word says. The church say, oh, 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 lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
Because I know that we be around so much negativity and we hear so many negative things. And I'm not saying everything that you hear is negative, but it just seems like the majority of things that you hear is negative. But tonight, those of you who don't know who you are in the Lord, tell you tonight that you are wonderfully and fearfully made. You are a child of the Most High God. And people will tear you down, but God builds you back up. People will cut you off, but God brings you and sits you among kings, princes, and queens. People will even try to tell you who you are not and what you can't do. But God says you are, and what and you are who you are and what you can do through Jesus Christ that strengthens you. And with God, nothing is impossible. God says that nothing shall be impossible with you, and all things is possible with him. And I just wanted to encourage you and just give you that so that you can unwind, and we're going to get into this word, and I got a word for you tonight, and I pray that this word will truly, truly bless you. But before we get into this word, I'm going to play another song, and then after that song, we are going to get into the word. I'm going to play Awesome by Charles Jenkins.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it.
Awesome.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver
of salvation.
By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice and say, come on, somebody.
goodness and grace and mercy and all of that. See, everyone in that chapter, they had a serious blemish in their life. But see, I got good news for you, because God will restore failures in our lives. That is a sign of God's grace, because God is compassionate and he's faithful to help us when we have sinned or fallen. When we rebel against God, when we be disobedient, we can repent and God will restore us. See, when we cry out to the Lord, when we are in trouble, he will save us out of our distress. When we read this text in Jeremiah 15, it seemed like God was angry with the people of Jerusalem due to they failed him tremendously. And God really was tired of their mess because Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, was the king. And they had, this is before I got to this scripture, what I read you in the opening of the lesson. I'm just kind of paraphrasing what had went on in Jeremiah 15. And what happened was, Manasseh, he was the son of Hezekiah. He was the king. But he had done so much wrong, and Jerusalem was in ruins with sin and disobedience and worshiping other gods and a whole lot of greed. And God was tired of giving them chances after chances. So God let them know that they will have to pay, and the consequences was not good. See, they failed God, and they would not heed to his statutes. And God gave them instructions if they turn back to him, he will restore them. That's what it says in verse 20 through 21. It says, "For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." So this goes to show us, though we may fail God, that he's faithful to restore us. Even though they were under Manasseh's rule, God was letting them know that he will, as it said in the beginning of the scripture, that he will destroy the ruthless. God was not holding them totally accountable for the things that they were doing, because they was following the instructions of the king. And that's why God gave them instructions and say, turn back. I will save you and deliver you. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, meaning Manasseh, the king. He said, I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. And so failure is one thing we can be sure of. Not everyone succeeds in life, but at some point or another, everyone will have some sort of failure. And so we got to understand, failure is not a bad thing. It's not a good thing, but it's not a bad thing. Because, see, even if you fail, if you trusting in God, he's going to restore you. God already know we're going to fail. He already know we are sinful beings. He already know that we're going to, at some point or another, we're going to follow the crowd, maybe. We may get distracted by something that looks like it's worth us having, and it's really to destroy us. But there's one common thing that everyone shares, and it's failure. Some people might say, well, I don't have any failures. I don't have any faults. I don't have no problem. But see, the thing is, they missed the opportunity of being a failure so it could help them to grow and to mature, to identify their weakness so God can bless them and reward them and so that he can lift them up and they can go even higher than where they are, because they have experienced something and God can get the glory of restoring them. In the book of, I think it's Acts, in the book of the 8th chapter of Acts, Apostle Paul started as a failure. He persecuted God's workers, thinking he was serving God. Then in 2 Samuel 11, David, he was the greatest king of Israel, and he failed miserably because he murdered a man and took his wife. Then when you look in the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, Peter, the mighty disciple and leader of the early church, he denied Jesus 3 times. In the midst of all of that, Jesus forgave and he restored Peter. Peter was in charge of his own failure. Many may say that Peter lied about betraying Jesus, but I think that Peter had good intentions. He just did not know how everything was going to go down. So Jesus helped Peter to overcome his guilty feeling of failing him and denying him, and he restored Peter. One thing that I do know, and it does not matter how gifted, how anointed, how good you preach, and how you declare you are a servant of the Most High, there is always a weakness in our flesh. Because being successful does not mean that failure would not become a part of your life. So you got to continue to stand on the word of God and his promises, which will bring us out of our distress. God will remove everything that will continue to cause failures in your life when we fully trust in him. See, God don't base our values on our failures, because even when we are unfaithful, God will remain able and faithful. The truth is that God loved us when we were extremely failures, because if you look at Romans 5 and 8, it says we are told, "For God showed his love for us, and that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." God doesn't give up on you if you fail. We were created perfect by God. Our imperfection is what created we created in our own life through our own selves. See, we are sinful beings which derive from Adam and Eve. But Jesus took all our sins to the cross. And you should be so glad to know, and everyone should know that story, whether they are believers or not. Everyone should know that Jesus loved us so much that he went on the cross for us. And I know for myself, I'm glad God doesn't love me any less if I fail. God loves us just the same when we make mistakes. We are going to make mistakes in our life, people. It's no such thing as a perfect Christian. It's no such thing as holier than thou. It's no such thing. Whether it be in our relationships, in our marriages, our ministries, our children, even sometimes our relationship with God, we're going to fail some point or another. But God will not give up on you, because God restores us even in our failures. Then Jeremiah 15 and 19 said this, "Therefore thus says the Lord, if you return, I will restore you, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall be as my mouth." God is in the business of restoring and using failures for his greater glory. Because sometimes we may doubt that, you know, I've done wrong, and I know God saw me, and I don't know, you know, he may cut me off from everything, including him. No, we don't serve that kind of God. We don't serve him. He loves us even when we fail. God empowers us. He calls those who he loves to be used by him. And if you feel like a failure, know that God loves you. And know that God can still use you if you simply surrender to him. It's that simple. I'm not sure at one point or another if we fumble and fail at our worst and weakest time, Jesus always displays his desire to reclaim us, to restore us, to renew us. And we got to understand that failure is not a part of our destiny. It is an event. God has already mapped out our purpose and destiny, and it sure isn't failure. Failure doesn't mean you have blown everything. It means you have some hard lessons to learn. It doesn't mean you are a permanent loser. It means you aren't as smart as you thought you were. It doesn't mean you should give up. It means you need the Lord to show you the next step. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It means that that God has a better plan. There was days in my life, and I'm going to give my testimony. I'm not ashamed of who I used to be. I thank God for who I am today, and I just hope that I'm a blessing to someone else that may be struggling with this very same thing that I'm about to witness to you. I remember back in my day when I was deep in sin. I was a drunk. I did drugs. I was being submissive to the devil, and I was living that good party life. Well, I thought it was good back then, but sometimes I would feel dirty. I would feel unworthy after doing my thing in the sinful lifestyle because I had a grandmother that pushed Jesus Christ in me. She pushed me to church, and sometimes it was 5 days a week. So it wasn't that I didn't know the Lord. It wasn't that I didn't know I was doing wrong. I just was tempted, and I just let that flesh just overtook me, and I would feel dirty. I would feel unworthy. I had a lot of drama, and I was confused in the world. But one thing for sure, I was serving the devil, and I would stay away from the church to prevent myself from serving two masters. I wore myself down, and I got so tired of that darkness that I was in. I made a choice to surrender myself to Jesus, and I know somebody was praying for me. I know that I did make the choice to turn my life around, but I know somebody prayed for me to make that choice. And what I did, I cried out to the Lord because I was tired. I was ready for a better life because that life was complicated. I don't care who you are, what you are. That party life is good while it's good. But after a while, and you do get tired, you do get wore out because you're seeing the same thing over and over, and you're just digging yourself deeper, deeper into the hole. And see, Jesus, he swooped me up. He cleaned me up. He showed me the way, and I've been serving him ever since. God restored me, and he gave me more than I could ask or think. And I thought I knew love, but I never knew love like the love from Jesus. See, people will keep before you all the failures that you've had in your life. See, people don't want to see the restoration in your life. They will always find ways to bring you down. And what they don't know, they can't undo what God has already ordained in your life. See, God had a plan for my life. He let me went on and made a fool of myself, but he knew sooner or later that I was going to surrender to him. See, what God has for you, it is for you. It don't come naturally without you making the choice to let God restore you, to let God restore everything in your life, and you making that great choice. See, Jesus had plans for me. He had plans for you. He had plans to give you hope and a future. He had plans to give you a second chance. And I just want to encourage anyone that has failures in your life, there's always going to be a chance to restore once you make that choice. We should not be ashamed of our weakness or failures because God is a restoring God. All you got to do is just trust him and believe on him. And the only thing that will separate us from God and God's people, what will separate us from God is sin. Sin isolates us so that the devil can convince us that we have made such a stupid mistake and no one wants to be around us ever again. He wants to get you isolated away from anything that pertains to God. Even the leaders that may be over you. And I'm not saying all leaders is right, and I'm not saying all leaders are wrong. But when you are isolated and you don't have no one feeding you the word, ministering to your spirit, you can become so weak that you will fail at everything you do. We should not be ashamed of our weakness or failure because God is a restoring God, and no one wants to be around anyone that is not trying to uplift themselves. You know, just because you become a new creation in Christ, that doesn't give you the right to look down on others because they haven't arrived where you are. We are not all wired the same way. And some people, it takes them longer than other people. We must pray for them. We must encourage them. We must speak the word of God to them. We don't need to keep hammering into them that they live in a sinful life. And see, that's what happened to me. It was always spoken over me. You just a sinner, and you ain't going to never be nothing. And God is seeing you, and he's going to punish you, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that. But when I found out how much God loved me, and I truly, truly found out how much he loved me, I renounced all of that people were telling me. And I just told God, I said, you perfect me the way you see fit. And I said, and forgive me for all my failures. I repented. And that's all you got to do. That's why Jesus was put on the cross, for us to be able to look to him and to repent. So, you know, we may spend hours in a miserable prison of self-imposed solitary confinement, because that's how I had got, because I just got tired of people telling me who I wasn't and what I was doing, and it looked like everything I was doing, it was condemned. But see, the enemy loves to see us when we have given in to him and not God. Nothing or no one should keep you from reaching your fullest and your blessed potential in your life. Romans 8:35, it says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Even sometimes we can stand on the word of God and stray away from God. Something may come our way that may look so tempting, and we may take our mind and our spirit away from God. Or we may have a devastating incident in our lives, and we are so focused on it, and we have doomed ourselves already to become a failure based on that, instead of turning to God and asking him for his help. See, the whole thing is, just say for instance, Eve got caught up with the serpent, and he was so convincing that she listened to him, only later to find out that she was deceived after God gave her instruction about which tree to eat from. It is so easy not to hear the right voice. That's why we must abide in Christ Jesus, who will speak to his sheep, and they will know his voice. As always, if it's not lining up with the word of God, you already know to denounce the deceiver. And see, many times we'll see someone else's success in their lives, and we feel that we can do what they are doing, and only to end up failing trying to do what they are doing. See, God does not call you to do something unless he equips you for it, unless he gives you that assignment. Don't spend the rest of your life feeling like a failure because you could not succeed at something you were never called to do. And so many are doing what God has not told them to do. They are busy and they are scrambling and this and that, and instead of what they need to scramble in, and they are so desperate to become a certain title. And they go to men and be deceived that they are making them be what God did not create them to be. I'm sorry, somebody may be offended, but the truth will set us free. We all have purpose and the gift of the ministry. That's why the scripture in Ephesians 4:11, God personally gives some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. There are some of us that want to be all things, and you will find yourself going from failure to another failure because that is not what God has equipped you to do. That is not the gift that God had put in you to be able to minister in that gift. We can sometimes get so desperate, to do the work of the Lord, we get busy in everything. And then you got a whole big mess. Then you got people that's confused, people that don't understand. People will be so confused that they will just get out of the whole situation. We got to focus only on what we can handle and what God has equipped us to do for the body of Christ. And I know this may not leave a good taste in a lot of people's mouths, but we got to do what God has called us to do and not do what we see somebody else doing, because God has equipped us and he has gifted us with the gifts that he sees fit for us to operate in. And we need to operate in that gift. And we need to do it wholly unto the Lord. And we need to perfect ourselves and make sure that that gift, it does what it needs to do. Ephesians 4:4-6, it tells us in the scripture, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope as your calling. Verse 5 say, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Verse 6 says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So let God use the gift that he has given you to grow, to mature, to encourage the weak, the feeble, the discouraged people. See, a lot of times we want the title, but we don't want to do the work. We don't want to get ourselves dirty. We want to walk around with our fine suits and hats and correct people when they don't call you by the right name. What's up with that? Because when you go before God, he's not going to ask you what your title was. He want to know where your heart was. See, God will build you up to the highest opportunity to achieve your goal. God will not allow you to fail in that what he has already given to you or imparted into you, the gifts that he has, that he will stir up in you to operate, to build up the body of Christ. God will not allow you to fail and not restore you. Failure is a fact of life for the believer. But God's grace is more than adequate to overcome any situation. You know, the Bible says we are all sinners and we prone to failure. But in Christ, we can become overcomers. Amen and thank you, God. Closing in prayer. Thank you, Father. And I pray, dear God, that your word did go forth tonight. If anyone don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you will ask Jesus, that they will ask Jesus in their lives, in their soul, their heart, and their mind, that they will ask for forgiveness and that they can be cleansed in his precious blood of righteousness. Lord, I ask once they make that choice to surrender unto you, I pray, God, you will purge them and make them whole in you. Lord, I pray for those that listen to this message, that they examine themselves and correct the things that's not pleasing unto you. I thank you for your word and your prophetic anointing over our lives. Lord, I take that everyone who is listening in or will listen later, that something was said to give them confirmation of your promises and your blessings in their life. Lord, I thank you that you have touched each of us hearts. You have given the words of comfort, that you have heard our cry. You have felt our broken heart, the depression, the sickness, our lost children to drugs, our broken homes, our broken marriages, loss of jobs and financial hardships in their hearts, in their homes and in this nation. Lord, so many is worried about what is President Trump going to do with our livelihood. He's not going to do anything with our livelihood because he didn't give us life and he hasn't ordained what is to come to be in our lives, because God is the only one that will make sure that we are okay, and nothing that he can do that God cannot fix. Lord, all these things, you have the answer. You have the solution. You have the power to change it in a wink of an eye. You are a supernatural God. You are a rich God. You fix what's broken. You mend broken hearts. You restore marriages. You heal the sick. You open the doors of jobs, and you give us finances and exceeding abundantly above all that we can think, according to the power that works in us. God, you said in your word that it is all in you. You said in that you shall supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, and we are not just looking to you for what you can provide for us. We look to you, God, because we need you. We need the comfort, the peace, the love, and the finances, God, because you know in this world we have to have finances and even to enable us to survive. God, and let us not look at the worldly things that will come to us, but that you will release to us from your kingdom. Father, you said that there is no lack in you, and all our struggles has been defeated. And we are standing before our giants, and they know that they must fall. They must fall. We know, God, who we are in you, and we are booted and suited in your word. Lord, give us discernment, give us wisdom, give us the strength to endure. We serve notice to you, Satan, that every plot and plan has been intercepted. It's been counseled, it's been exposed and deleted from the atmosphere of each person listening right now in the name of Jesus. As your prophet, I speak blessing. I speak good health. I speak peace. I speak joy. I speak prosperity and long life in each person on this land. Lord, send your warring angels to guard every person listening in their homes and their travel and everything that they do, that the plots of the devil will not manifest. And, Lord, that you will cover them in the blood of Jesus. We're going to break every yoke, every stronghold, every condemning tongue against them. Silence the tongue right now that it will not prevail. And every yoke is destroyed in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to praise you in our good and in our bad. We give it all to you, Lord. And we ask you, dear God, whatever failures that we may endure in our lifetime, God, to restore us, God, to bring us back where you would have us to be. We're going to wait on your manifestation and your word and your action, because we know, God, that your word is not void, that you will send your word and your word will do that what you have sent it to do. Oh, God, I thank you for honoring every word that was spoken here tonight. We glorify you. We honor you. We adore you, God, and we praise you because you are an awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Well, there you have it. Short lesson tonight. We're getting out of here right at 8:30. So unless someone has something that they would like to add, and I thank that person that's on the phone line, thank you so much for joining me, and I pray that you were blessed by this. And the person in the chat room, thank you so much for tuning in by chat, and may God just bless both of you. And I'm thrilled to have you with me tonight, and I pray that you will continue to support this ministry. And I know sometimes I may not say things as favorable, but everything that I say, I pray that it is a blessing and that it will help you to mature and it will help you to have a deeper relationship with Jesus, because having a relationship with Jesus is very, very important. And I know it is. And, you know, I hate to sit here and say this, but I wasn't convinced until cancer hit me. When cancer hit me, it made a believe out of me in everything that I thought I believed in. And, you know, there were times I was doubting, even through my journey with the cancer. And sometimes I just felt like God wasn't going to do what he said he was going to do. But God made a believer out of me, and he made a believer out of the doctor. And, you know, God just, he just did two things in one. but I just give him praise. Let me offer someone else, if they want to have something to say, to call in number 657-383-0086. That's 383-0086. If you press 1, it will bring you in queue, and I welcome you to share whatever you like to share. If not, I thank you so much for tuning in. And, you know, sometimes I sit here and I say, you know, look like people just don't want to listen to me. But you know what? I found out later on, even though they are not on the line tonight or in the chat room, that they do listen. And some people just may have things they need to do. But that's why I always post it on Facebook. So if anyone do care to listen, they have that opportunity. But I just want to thank you for your time. I'm not going to hold you. I do have 2 hours on here, but I don't need 2 hours to talk, because I've said what I had to say. I've been obedient to what God has told me to do. And so I bless you. May you have a great week, because this is the early part of the week. May your week be prosperous, and may something supernatural come before you, or something that you've asked God for. Or even if you have failed at something, get up and try it again, because failure is not an option with God. And so that's the whole point that I'm trying to stress. Do not fret because you have failed. Sometimes you got to move on from that, because it may not be the thing. And so God will direct you if you ask him to show you the way, and he will show you the way. Trust me, he will. So I say to you, bless your household, your health, and your finances, and anything that you set out to do or ask God for, may he grant it to you expediently and expeditely. And may you just be so very blessed, and have a peaceful night and peaceful sleep. Until we meet again, I'm Prophet Shirley Kane with Win the Walk to Jesus Ministry, and I just want to say good night to you. May God bless you, and I'm going to go out with a song. But what song I want to go out? Oh, this is my favorite song that I like. So I'm just going to say good night, and may God bless you.
When I think of the good and the of Jesus and all he's done for me, you know my soul cries out, hallelujah, oh Lord. And I thank God for saving me. Let me say it again. When I think of the good and the of Jesus and I thank God for saving. Let me say it right here. When I think of the blessing of Jesus and all he's done for me, wow, my soul cries every day of my life, oh Lord, hey, hey, thank God. Now you know what I need to tell the Lord, I better make it. I thank you, Jesus. You've been mighty good. I know you've been good to me. You've been better than me. I've been a win to myself. You made me run in hell. You made me tell somebody else. You can't nobody do me like you, Lord. I said, can't nobody do me like you, Jesus. That's the reason why. I know I got to thank you, Jesus. I remember when Friday, when I went down on my knees, I said I wouldn't tell nobody about something got a hold on me. But it got it all in my hand, then it got it all in my feet. It just made me tell the world about something got a hold on me. I think you feel that power. 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 I think you feel that power.
make it all right.
Gonna make it all
right. I remember at my last song, I asked everybody out there, I've got this question again, that I want to ask you. Did you get that power? 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 I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. It'll get in your hand. It'll get in your walk. It'll get all in your talk. It'll make you tell somebody that you've been born again. Ain't it all right? Wait a minute, y'all.
Y'all know what? What is up?
I feel like going to church a little while.
Hey.
Come on and go with me. Did you get that power?